The Holy Hymnum, Gimel Amud Beis, 6 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that given that there are two types of baked goods in the Beis Mikdash, the types, vaguely types of menachos that involve chometz, namely the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos and 10 loaves of bread that come with the Torah from the Korban Torah, so we have to make them chometz. We had a machlokas in the Mishnah how to do it. We had Rav Meir saying that we take out a piece of the dough itself, a piece of the yisodin that we measured out, and we make that into sourdough, and then we use that to we take a little bit of the flour, knead it separately, wait until it becomes chametz, and then use the rest of it to and then use that to make the rest of the batch chametz. Rabbi Yehuda had said the problem with that is that that's not minam muvcha because then you don't have really good quality sa'ur. So instead, what Rabbi Yehuda had said is what you should do is bring a batch of sa'ur, a batch of sourdough from your house, put it into the yisodin, and then continue filling up the yisodin measure until you have a complete yisodin. And the Chum objected to him. The problem with that is that it may end up being more or less than an yisodin because depending on how thinly or thickly it was kneaded with water, as compared to the rest of the dough. So the Mishnah said, Rav Meir on the Hasel Bodel Lahem the Chelfin Amachan Sankola, and Rabbi Yehuda had said, and the Chum said, Chaseiro, the problem is it's Chaseiro or Yuseiro. So first we have to figure out, my Chaseiro or Yuseiro. What does the Chum mean by that objection to Rabbi Yehuda that it might be less than an Yisodon or more than an Yisodon? So, like Rashi explained in the Mishnah, Amr Chisa, Isa Sasa'ur Ova, if the piece of dough of sa'ur is going to be very thick and has a lot, very little water relative to the rest of the dough, so then nymphis yisera, then it comes out the yisaren is going to hold too much because you have more in that piece of sa'ur, you have proportionally more flour per unit volume than you do in the rest of it. Raka, and if the sa'ur is softer and has a lot of water in it, nimtzis chasera, then it's going to come out. You have less flour per unit volume that you then in there than you do with the rest of it, and then the total is going to be less than a complete sa'urin. But the question is, the Gemara says, so what's the problem? So if so, ki kokayo li yisodin kokayo. So what? At the end of the day, though, you still have the measure fills up a complete yisodin. And again, yisodin being a measure of volume, then at the end of the day, we're filling it up until the brim or until whatever point you fill it up to make up an yisodin. Who cares if in one part of it the flour is more concentrated than in a different part? And the answer is Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, Dami Tavayo, because in fact, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef say that won't work. Because in fact, we have to evaluate it according to the way it was. We have to evaluate it according to how the volume of it when it was just flour before it was kneaded with the water. And therefore, so your idea, you're saying, well, the sodden is any sodden. Who cares if one part of it is more constant, has more flour per unit volume than the other? Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef say that won't work. We do, in fact, need any sodden of flour as it was to begin with. And therefore, the Chacham are objecting to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah that if you put in a piece of sur and then put more flour to fill up the sodden, it means at some point it means that you're going to have either more or less flour than you would have had you just sorted out with any sorted of flour. Which we're going to talk about that point soon, about when in other areas of halacha, as it relates to this matter of food taking up more or less volume than it otherwise should, and what that means in terms of the shiurim that apply to food. Anyway, the Gemara says, well, why don't we do another possibility then? The lishka purtamine, why don't we take a little bit of the dough? Now, the problem is, again, both of Yehuda's and Rav Meir's methods in the Mishnah have a flaw to them. Rav Meir's is, as Rav Yehuda points out, if you're going to be doing it after you measured the sa'ur, meaning you only have a very limited amount of time to make it into sa'ur, it's not going to come out good quality sa'ur, so therefore it's not going to come out good quality bread. And according to Yehuda, the problem is, as we're saying, that you're not going to have the equivalent amount of flour that you would have had if you just started with any sa'ur. So why don't we do this? Why don't we take a little bit of the dough, So take a little bit of it after we measure these sodden, and then make it chometz someplace else, to make it, by Rashi points out, put it in someplace warm, which will cause it to become chometz faster, take it and then put it into a piece of dough that already is chometz, and then it'll become good quality chometz, and then we'll bring it back, and then we bring it the new losha bahadah, and we knead it together with the rest of the flour. Why don't we do that? You're telling me, according to the Yehuda, that according to the mayor, that we need to take out a piece of Sa'ur from the Sa'ur itself, and only then afterwards are we going to measure, and then only after we're done with that are we going to measure out the rest of the flour. And according to the Yehuda, we're saying that you put in the piece of Sa'ur from someplace else. Well, why don't we do this? We'll take a little bit of the flour, make it good quality chametz, and then on that same day, we go and knead it with the rest of the dough. So this way, it'll be the best. This way, we'll have the best of both. It won't be chasero yisera, because we started with an yisera and a flour, and at the end, we also have an yisera and a flour. And it has the advantage that it's good quality, that it's good quality syrup, because we put it someplace warm or inside another piece of dough or something, which will make it become effectively chometz faster. And the answer is Zera Dilma Osila Suri Ma'alma. If we do that, though, we have to make a Zera that somebody might take sourdough of Chulin, and he won't realize. In other words, people are going to think you don't see him now measuring the Isarin, so people are going to think that you're allowed to bring a mincha of larger than an Isarin. So therefore, in the future, people might take an Isarin of flour and then add more sourdough to it from outside, and then you have more than an Isarin. That's no good. So therefore, we have no choice but to use either the mayor's or Rabbi Yehuda's method. That's Rashi's first explanation, which Rashi says is Loshen Kal V'Hogun, is an easy to understand explanation. Then Rashi gives a bit more of an elaborate explanation. The question is that what we should do is, once we take the, we bring Sa'ur from his house, but then what we do is we check the consistency of it and make sure that the rest of the flour we mix to the same consistency. So in other words, so you'll see if the sourdough is thick, and now you see if you do the rest of it, you're going to end up with too much flour. Then you figure out the amount of flour appropriately, and the same thing if it's soft. So in other words, you evaluate what does the sour look like versus how we're going to do the rest of the dough in order to match that as much as possible. And that way it won't have any of the problems. And the answer is that you might end up trying with, so in other words, you can be doing some tests. You can be putting more or less water in, as the case may be, and see what happens. The problem is that then you might take from a different isarin and mix it in over here. And the problem is that you have more than an isarin of flour, which is no good. Therefore, either of those possibilities won't work, and therefore we don't have a choice but to do either Reb Meir's or Reb Yehuda's method in the Mishnah. The Rambam passes like Reb Yehuda. So we put in Sa'ur into the measure, and then we fill it up. We will fill up the rest of the way with flour, and we don't care about the fact that in one part of it the flour is more concentrated or less concentrated than in other parts. As the Gemara had started out by saying, as long as it does reach the space of an Isarin, we don't really care what the actual flour per unit volume is in the different parts of it. So the Gemara says, so now let's talk about, here's another possible way of making chometz conceivably. Turn it on, ein machmitzin betapuchim. You can't make these, the shtei lechem and the bread of the Torah, the chometz, using apples. So you put apple juice, and you put mashed up apples into it itself, and that would help make it chometz, but you can't do that, because that won't make proper chometz. Mishum Rav Chanina ben Gamliel Omru Machmitzin, but they said in the name of Rav Chanina ben Gamliel that you could. Now there's a big machloikas rishonim, which is relevant as far as the halachas of Pesach. Are we saying over here, let's do the next few lines talking about the various types of chometz, and then we'll talk about what comes of this. So the Gemara says, But Rav Chanina ben Tzadya. Rav Chanina had a version of the Braisa that the second opinion wasn't Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, but rather Rav Chanina ben Tzadya. Other than that, though, it was the same thing. Both of Gemara says, Kaman Hazla Hadrathman. Well, which opinion does it follow? This is what it says in a Mishnah, in Trumas, Tapuach. If a person takes an apple of truma, and then mashes it out, the nosnim asecha isa, and puts it into a dough, and puts it into a dough of corn, the chumtza, and it made that dough chomet, harezu asura, then non-koyanim will not be able to eat it. We don't mean, in other words, it's not that it has a flavor of the apple so much, if it did, then of course it would be also anyway. What we mean is, in other words, that the apple made it chomet. And that kind of thing is called Dovra Mamed, or other similar expressions like that, where you have something that changes the consistency of something, in this case makes it from non-chomets to chomets, and that's considered, even if you don't have an actual flavor of it, that itself is considered to that extent, giving a flavor, and therefore makes it also to Zorim. So now, in other words, So you're saying that it made its chomets. Leimer of Chanina ben Gamliel, he v'loy Rabbanan. Would you have to say that that's according to Chanina ben Gamliel, or Chanina ben Tzadian, as the case may be, and not according to the Chachamim? Because, in other words, if it wasn't that it made it real chomets, and according to the Chachamim, apparently it doesn't, since they're saying you can't use apples to make the lechem aponim, the shtei lechem, or the bread of the Torah, then it would come out that it shouldn't be considered that it changed the status of the dough enough to make it also to Zorim either. So it seems that Mishnah would work only according to the Chanina ben Gamliel or the Chanina ben Tzadian. And the answer is, I feel the tamer rabbanon. You could even say it does go according to the Chachamim. Nihid chomets gomer lehaber. The Chachamim will hold. It doesn't become full-fledged chomets by using apples or other juices like that. Chomets nuksha, but nuksha miyahavi, but it is at any rate called chomets nuksha, which is incomplete chomets. The word nuksha literally means hard. So Rabbi Negerishim explains it's kind of like somewhere in between. It's not chomets, but it's not complete chomets, but it's not matzah either. Now, there is a big machlokas rishonim over here. Are we talking about, Rashi actually explains differently. Rashi explains that the word nuksha means weak. He relates it to the word koshish, which means like an old man. So it's like a weak kind of chomet. So Rabbi Gershom says it means hard. Whatever the case, the point is, in other words, so the chachamim are going to say, it does make a type of chomet. Not to the extent where it would be kosher for the shtei alechem or for the bread of the Torah, but enough that it does change the status of the dough, and therefore that now it's not pure matzah anymore, now it's a type of chomet, and therefore the chachamim can still say that the apple therefore changed it from matzah into a type of chomet, and therefore that's reason enough to say since the apple was truma, then therefore the resulting dough, the resulting chometz nukshah dough, is also tzadim. Tosfos has a long discussion over here, and it's a big machlokas rishonim. Are we talking about over here where there is only fruit juice involved, or are we talking about where there's fruit juice as well as water involved? So among other things, Tosfos points out that Tosfos brings from Rabbi Natan exactly that. When it's just made payless by themselves without water, it won't make it chometz. But together with water, it will make it chometz. Then he goes on to bring from the Yerushalmi, who says that even made payless by themselves are able to make chometz. So it's quite a bit of discussion about all of that. Rashi himself, not in this sugya over here, but in the parallel sugya in Pesachim, explains that the Gemara is talking about over here, they only use the apples and no water at all, and still the chacham holds it can become chometz nuksha by itself, and we're not even talking about there was any water involved, as opposed to Rabbi Natan says over here that with only made peiros it wouldn't become chometz at all, not even chometz nuksha. So it would have to be that he used, for example, apple juice and water. The Rambam basically learns that Rabbi Natan and in Shulchan Aruch you have both opinions are brought. So ultimately, then the result is when you have so the halacha is that Rambam also writes that if there's made peiros, if there's juice as well as a little bit of water, not only it can become chametz, but it becomes chametz even faster than with plain water. The pashtus, I guess you could say, because then the yeasts have more sugar to feed on. Whatever the case, the point is, the halacha, so we say that, that with juice only, it definitely won't become chometz of the kind that a person would be chayav karis for, but it might become chometz nuksha, according to Rashi at least. And therefore be also at least the Rabbanan to eat it on Pesach. And then if you have juice as well as water, then as we said, as we're saying, it may become chametz and then become real chametz and become chametz even faster. So this all has a lot of implications as far as the dinim of Pesach, as far as what we are and aren't allowed to eat in terms of matzah and in terms of chametz and in terms of baked goods on Pesach. So now we're going to get into the point over here that we mentioned before when we were talking about how they do with the chametz for the shealech and for the shealech and for the bread of the Torah. So we said that Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef had said that the rule is l'chmosh shehin hosam asharinim. You have to evaluate the volume of something based on the way it was originally and not necessarily the way it is now. So now the Gemara is going to get into a discussion about that point. So it starts out like this. I'm going to be there's nothing of all the menachas where a kohen has to take a permit from them. The most difficult one to do is the minchas choyte, the one where it's just flour, where the person brings it as a korban over the yored, where he's very, very poor and can only afford that. So for shavuos bitui and shavuos edus and a couple of other and tumas mitzvah for kodesh, if he's really, really poor, he brings a minchas flour and it's just flour, no oil, no levoina. So now Rabbi Ila says that's the most difficult one to do the kmitzah of. Because since it's just flour, so therefore it's very crumbly, so it's very hard to make sure that you're not missing something of the koinets. We learned earlier in the Masechta that the koin takes the koinets according to most Rishonim with three fingers, and then he uses his pinky and his thumb to wipe off the extra that sticks out. Well, being that it's a dry mincha over here, it's all crumbly, then it's very easy for him to knock off too much, and then the koinets is incomplete. We talked about then that the Rambam actually learns slightly differently and says that kmitzah takes place with four fingers, but whatever the case, the point is Rabbi Ila is saying that it's very hard to do it and make sure that you don't knock off some of the, that you don't knock off some of the more of the flour than you're supposed to. Tosfos points out that in the first parak of Amasechta, we learned that actually Minchas Machvas and Minchas Mafeshes are the most difficult to take the koimetz of because they're baked or fried, and therefore it's very hard to break off the pieces on the end, the pieces that are sticking out on the end and break them off with your thumb or your pinky. And here the Gemara seems to be saying instead that the most difficult one is the one made out of flour. Okay, whatever the case, I mean, there were different difficult avodas in the Beis Mikdash, and these are among them. Rabbi Yitzchok Rav Dimi says, no, that's not such a problem. Minchas choyte megabla b'mayim, because what you could do is, the minchas choyte is not allowed to have oil in it, but you are allowed to mix it with water, and therefore you can mix it with water, and then that way it helps hold the flour together, and then that way you can take a koimetz from it without knocking off any more than you're supposed to. Tosfos, by the way, I'm doing Masoret Hashas over here refers to a Tosfos in Yuma that discusses there's different meanings when we say something is a hard avoida. There's different kinds of things. There's avoidas where it's hard to do, as in it causes physical pain. Or physical discomfort to do it, like using your fingers in a sort of unnatural way, versus you have the kinds that are avoidus cautious, where cautious, it's easy enough to do in terms of manipulating your fingers. It's hard to do in terms of making sure that comes out exactly right. A minchas choyte, you can knead it with water and it'll be kosher, and then you can take the kmitza that way and it's not so hard. Well, the Gemara says, Lema b'hokam mifri. Well, should we have to say that Rabbi Yitzchok Rav Dini and Rabbi Ila are arguing on the following point, of what we said before about how you evaluate the volume of something? Demar Sagar, K'mos Shehen Mishalinan. Rabbi Yitzchok Rav Dini would hold, we evaluate the volume as it is now, so therefore you can put water into the Minchas Chote, and when you take the Koimetz, inevitably, therefore, the volume of what you're taking as a Koimetz is going to have less flour in it than it would have if it had been dry flour, because now you have the volume of the water as well. And nevertheless, Rabbi Yitzchok Rav Dini doesn't care about that, because he says you go according to how they are now. would hold the Kamos Shahoyim Shadim. We have to evaluate according to the way they were to begin with, and therefore, according to him, it's impossible to mix it with water, because then you're not going to be able to take a proper size chometz. Then it's going to come out that the chometz is going to have less flour in it than it would have otherwise been. So the chometz itself is going to be, again, you're going to have the same problem as we talked about before in connection with the seor. Either you're going to have too much or too little flour in there, depending on how thickly you mix the flour and then how thickly you mix the flour and water. So it sounds like that what Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef are saying is not universally agreed to, but rather the Amoraim, the other Amoraim, are arguing on that thing. So the answer is loy, not necessarily. The Kula Alma Kamos Shehen Mesharon. They both may actually disagree with Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef and say you go according to how they are currently right now, and not like Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef have said that you have to look at the original volume. Or Bahakamitri. So the Machlokes would only be as follows: the Marsava, Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbini holds my Chareva. When the pasuk says that a minchas poita has to be dry, means Chareva Mishemen, means it's dry as in you don't put oil on it. But you could add water to it. Or Marsava, Rabbi Yitzchak holds Chareva Mikoldava. It has to be completely dry and then no water in it. But they would both agree that you look at the current volume, and therefore if Yitzchak can say, well, go ahead and put water in it. That's going to change the volume of flour that's in the koimetz. It doesn't matter because we're going to look at the volume as it is right now after the water is added. And Rabbi Yitzchak would be saying, fine, I have no problem with that idea, but the fact is, the Torah is telling you that the mincha has to be chareva, which means dry, which means you can't add any liquid to it at all. So the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Yitzchak Rav Jimmy, you could add water to it. Chareva just means that you don't have oil in it. And he also Paskins in the earlier part that you can just put in the seor into the yisurin and then fill it up with the rest of the flour, as Rabbi Yehuda had said, and don't worry about what the original volume of flour was in that seor, because we don't go according to the original volume, we go according to the current volume. So the Gemara says, let's talk more about this point about the original volume versus the current volume. So Tanan Hassan, we wrote in a mission in the Sefer Uktin. Now you have the rule like this. Tumas Oichlin involves food that's a kabeitza in size. Now you have a machlokes rishonim within that. Everybody agrees that for food to be metame, other food requires a kabeitza. The machlokes says, for food, when you have food that's tame and then it's going to touch other food and make it tame, everybody agrees that that's going to happen only if you have a kabeitza of food. What about the food becoming tame in the first place? So Rashi and Tosfos in a number of places in Shas learn that the same thing. In order for it to become tame in the first place, it has to be a kabeitza. As opposed to the Rambam disagrees with that and says that food can become tame at any amount. Even though even a tiny bit of food, according to the Rambam, is able to become tame, but to be metame, other food requires a kabeitza. In any case, the Mishnah describes over there, Besara Egel Shemitzvah. Suppose you have flesh of a calf, which was less than a kabeitza in size, and you cooked it, or you did whatever with it, and it swelled up. It absorbed liquid from the pot, or it itself has liquid within it. It itself has moisture within it because it's from a young animal, and therefore that causes it to swell up. So now it equals a kabeitza. Or the other way around, a sarzkena, or the meat of an old animal, shenismach, which was reduced in volume. You cook it, and it shrank, as it often does. Misharim kamos shehen. So then you evaluate them as they are. So what does that kamos shehen mean? Rab Rabchi of Rabbi Yechon, I mean misharim kamos shehen, misharim kamos shehen. It means exactly what it sounds like. Says Rab and Rabchi and Rabbi Yechon. You evaluate the volume of it as it is right now. So in other words, this meat, for example, so we said the meat of the eagle, for example, before it was less than a kabeitza. Now that it's swelled up as a result of the cooking, the piece is the size of a kabeitza, then that's how we evaluate it. So now it'll be, according to Rashi and Tosfos, it'll be able to become tame. According to the Rambam, it could have become tame even before that. But according to everybody, it'll be able to be able to be metame other food. And vice versa, when you started out with a kabeitza, of meat from an old animal, then the other way around, then, and it shrank, then it won't have those in him anymore, because right now it's not a kibbutz, coincidentally. On the other hand, Shmuel, Reb Shimon ben Rebbe, Reb Shlokish Amri, three other Amoraim say, Mishtar and Lekamos Shehen. What the Mishnah means is that you evaluate them as they were. I'm going to Bach changes the word from Shehen to Shahoyu, as they were. So, according to the Bach's Yosef, it makes it more clear. Look to Moshe Shehoyu in the way that they were as they were originally. The Gius that we have in front of us, Look to Moshe Shehen, means the difference is, Moshe Shehen would mean as they are now. Look to Moshe Shehen would mean that we evaluate as they were, as they were originally. With Likamos Shehen, we have to evaluate towards what they are now, meaning we have to consider what were they originally versus what they were now, and we have to take into consideration what they were originally. So the original piece was less than a kibbutz, so therefore we don't care that now it swelled up and became a kibbutz, and vice versa. So Macholikus with three Amiroyim on each side. Well, the Gemara says Mesi. I have a contradiction on Shmuel and the other Amiroyim with him. Abraisa says Bisara Egel Shalot Hoyba Kashir. When you flesh of a meat of a calf, which was not the size of a shear, which was not a kibbutz, the tofach, and it swelled up for Amad al-Kashir, it became a kibbutz in size. Tahor l'sha'avar, so it's tahor for up until now, meaning in other words that according to Rashi and Tosfos, it won't have been Makabel Tuma up until this point. According to the Rambam, it won't be able to be Matame food. According to everybody, it won't be able to be Matame food up to this point. The Tome, the Kamalamba, but it will become it. It will be Tome. It will become Tome. You're able to transmit Tuma from now and on. So we see, therefore, that we do go according to the way it is right now. Right now, it's swelled up and it equals a kibbutz, and therefore now from now on we evaluate it that way. So how are Shmuel and Reb Shimon ben Rebbe and Reb Shlokish saying otherwise? Tosfos points out, why don't we simply say that they hold that in our Mishnah, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda are arguing about exactly that point as far as the Sur, whether we go according to the original volume or the current volume. Tosfos says that no, because Reb Meir, the reason why he's bothered by the fact that it might be too much or too little, is because the pasuk says specifically any sodden of flour. It doesn't say any sodden of dough. Whereas when it comes to matters of Tumas Oichlin, that kind of thing doesn't matter. So what do you mean that it's Tomei Mikan Labo? So the answer is Midirabbanan, we're going to say, because right now it looks like it's Kazayas in size, Kabetza in size, therefore we're going to apply the dinim of Tumas Oichlin to it, but on a Daraisa level, we wouldn't, according to them, because originally it wasn't a Kabetza. So the Gemara says, Yifachi, if that's what it means, we're only talking Midirabbanan, Ema Sefer, look at the next part of the Mishnah, where it continues, the same is true as far as Pigol and Noiser. The same thing that if they were less than a kibbutz and then they swelled up and became a kibbutz, then it's going to be tomim the kanalaba. Now, if you say that the dinim of the braisa or daraisa hainu deikol pigol v'noisa, well then pigol and noisa themselves, the soul of them is daraisa, and therefore we can say that it applies as well. Ela yamet rabbanan, but if you say that the whole concept of them being metame, becoming tomei, or making other things tomei once they're kibbutz, is only rabbanan, pigol v'noisa and rabbanan miika. And there's no such thing as pigol or noiser. There's no such thing as pigol or noiser daraisa. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains the Gemara had understood that when we say b'chem b'pigol v'noiser means the same thing as far as a kezias. If you had if there was a piece of meat less than a kezias of pigol or of noiser, and now it swelled up and became a kezias, and a person ate it, then he would be chay of karis. So what do you mean though? If daraisa, we still look at it according to Shmuel and company, we say that it's considered less than a kezias. Then there's no such thing as kares on it. Because the Chum don't impose kares on the Chum can't say kares where there's no kares. Sure, it would be also to eat chatzis shir also min haTorah, or even if not chatzis shir according to the Shlokish, chatzis shir is not also min haTorah, but it would still be also derabbanan. The question is not how we say that it would be also to eat, but the question is how the Braisa seems to be implying that the full dinim of pigol and noiser, even as far as kares, would apply to it. But how is that? The whole thing is only derabbanan. So the answer is, Ema, what the Braisa means, v'chein b'tumas pig, or v'chein b'tumas nosir. We don't mean the isir and the kodes of eating them. What we mean is the tumah of them. Chazal made a rule that pig or nosir are metame a person's hand. So the more it discusses, in Pesachim reasons why that is, one of them being because we suspect the Kohenim of being careless for the Korbanos, and the other one is because they might be lazy, whatever the case, the point is, in other words, that's so therefore, so if we make it that now if they touch, for example, Hashtag for Hona, Rashi brings the point, is for example, that a person we suspect the Kohenim may go and want to make people's Korbanos piggle. But now if we tell them that piggle is in the time of your hands, Kohenim like to be very careful about Tumah V'Tahara, And therefore, that'll dissuade them from doing such a thing. And the Gemara brings other points over there as well. The point is that truma, the truma of them is only derabbanan. Actually, it's two things that the Gemara explains over there. That figgle, the reason why figgle is metame hands, the derabbanan, is because of chashik tohonim, because we suspect that some kohenim, to get back at people they don't like, are going to deliberately make their korbanos figgle. And therefore, but if we tell them that'll make their hands tame when they touch it, then that'll dissuade them from doing that. As far as nosir, the reason is absolute for Hona, Kohenim are lazy and don't finish the korban in time. So again, if we tell them that now at the nosir, you touch it, it's going to make your hands tame, then that will cause them to hurry up and make sure they eat it in time because they don't want their hands to become tame. In any case, stop with that, Afamina. So now you would think, so we're not talking about the chorus at all, we're talking about the chuma, which is dirabonin. Since these chumas that we're talking about are only dirabonin, so therefore when it comes to something which itself is a din dirabonin, maybe the chachamim are not going to say that when not only that, but the piece itself was less than a kibetza, and now it swelled up and became a kibetza, and you're going to say that therefore we're, and therefore you're going to say that the, that, and therefore you're going to say that we're still going to say that this tumah did, which is itself only dirabanan, is going to apply in this kind of case. You would have thought that not. Hamashmalan, therefore the Braisa wants us to know, not so, that it still is metame. But again, according to Shmuel and Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe and Mishlokish, what we're talking about, we say you go according to the original volume. But on the other hand, when the Braisa says Tomi Mekanalamba, that would only be Dirabanan. On a Diraisa level, we would go according to the original volume. So Kores wouldn't apply, Tuma wouldn't apply, etc. But with Dirabanan, we're going to say we are going to, because after all, right now, it looks like it's a Kaveitsa in size, and therefore the Chachamim are going to apply the rules of Tuma to it, even when the Tuma itself is only of Dirabanan origin, like that Pigol and Nosa. So Gemara says Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. A braisa says saras kena shahoya by kashir, the meat of an old animal which was the size of a kibetza, but samak, and then it shrank, pochas mikashir, and now it became less than the shir, tome the shavar, then up until now, tumah applied to it for tome, and from now on tara, and from now on tumah will not apply to it. Again, according to Rashi and Tosfos, it won't be able to be mekabel tumah anymore. According to the Rambam, it can still be mekabel tumah, but according to everybody, it won't be able to transmit tumah to anything else since it's not a kibetza. So before we were talking about where you want to go according to how it is now, and you say that's the chumah, and you say that's the din d'rabbanan. But here we see that we're going according to how it is now, even when it's l'kula. So how are Shmuel and Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe and Reish Lakish saying that you go according to how it was originally? So the answer is like this. Omar Rabba. So Rabba says, here's how you have to understand the opinions that I'm arguing before. So up until now, we were assuming that it's a binary thing. Either the thing was less than a kibetza and now swelled up and became a kibetza, or vice versa. And we're saying that Rav and the other Amoraim with him are always going to go according to how it is now, and Shmuel and the other Amoraim with him are always going to go according to how it was originally. But now Rav says not necessarily like that. If to begin with it didn't have the proper shear, and now it also, if to begin with it had the proper shear, it was a kibetza, and now it shrank and it's less than a shear, the fact is right now it's not a kibetza, and everybody will agree that tumah doesn't apply to it from now on. Even Rav and even Shmuel and the other Amoraim with him will say that we go according to the way it is right now and not the way it was originally. Therefore, the Braises that we just quoted are not going to contradict them. Furthermore, continues Rabba, v'chol hechad mi'ikra le'havabeh v'hash tahavabeh, and vice versa, if to begin with it was not the proper shear, and now it is, because it's swelled up, midrabanan, then as we said, midrabanan, we're going to apply tumatzeh, even though daraisa wouldn't. Does that mean that only according to the Shlokish it would be Drabbanan? Does it mean according to Rav and Rav Yechanan? Does it mean that according to Rav and Rav and Rav Yechanan, it would actually be Daraisa? Different Chidushim Am Yechasim La Rashba and the Shutu Kubetzis discuss that. So it would come out that even according to Rav Yechanan, when we say we go according to how it is now, would only be Drabbanan. So then there's also no machlokas, and everybody would agree that you go according to how it is right now. Completely, the machlokas between Rav and company and Shmuel and company would be when Shahoya by the Kashir, when it had, it was a kibetzah in size, but somak, and then it shrank, the chazer betofach, and then it swelled up again and went back to being the original kibetzah in size. So in other words, when the Mishnah that we quoted to begin with had mentioned meat of a calf that had swelled up, that means in other words it swelled up and regained its original size. And the Saraskenish and Ismail, when we said an old animal where the meat shrank, that was talking about the second stage in it. So in other words, we're saying it's like one continuous thing. So in other words, there's obviously two different cases. Rashi is saying, you know, you have old meat of an old animal and meat of a young one. But the point is, in other words, we understand that in both cases, we're talking about it was a three-step process. It was a certain volume, a kibetzah, then it shrank, and then it regained that volume. So when we talk about the shrinking, we're using in that connection the example of meat of an old animal, which typically does that. And when we use the expanding, we're using the example of meat from a young animal, which typically does that. But it's one continuous thing. So now would be the machlokas. The mar sava yesh dichri b'isura. So now the machlokas is Reb Shmuel. So now the machlokas is Shmuel and Reb Shimon b'Revi and Reb Shlokish hold that an isur can be rejected. That in other words, at one point it was less than a kibetza. Therefore, the concept of tumah doesn't apply. Therefore, tumas oichlin doesn't apply to it. And now the fact that it swelled up again doesn't change that. It still remains and it still retains its status of not being subject to Torah. But Mar Sava, whereas Rav and Rabbi and Rabbi Yechon hold Ein Bichri B'Yisura, Yisurim cannot be rejected and pushed off like that. Temporarily, there was a time when it's not subject to Torah because it was less than a Kibetza, but now that it came back to a Kibetza, then the original Dinim applied to it all over again. So it must have been Mi'ikul Mandrama Diyesh Dichri B'Yisurim, but you're telling me that Shmuel and company can hold that there is dichri b'isurin. You're telling me that there are tanoim who hold such a way. But we learn in a Mishnah, kabeitza oichon sheinichem b'chama, when you have a kabeitza of tomei food that you put in the sun, and it's smart when they shrank because they dried, v'chen kazayis min ames, kazayis min avelo chadashim min asheretz, or a kazayis of a dead human body, or kazayis of a dead animal, or a lentil size of a sheretz, all those are the minimum size of those respective things to transmit tumah, the kazayis pigol, the kazayis noser, or a kazayis of pigol or noser, whereas we said they have a tumah, so, kazayis pigol or noser actually would be not as far as tumah, but as far as the din, whether a person is chayav koris or malchus for eating them, the kazayis chaylev or kazayis of chaylev, same thing. So tahorin, because they shrank in the sun, then they're tahor in the sense, in other words, they can't be metame anything else. The ein chayav and aleim shom pigul v'noisa v'chaylev, and at that point a person wouldn't be chayav if he ate the pigul or the noisa or the chaylev, which now is less than a kazayis, he wouldn't be chayav for it. What about he nichan v'gshomim? What about if then instead of after he left them out in the sun and they shrank, then he put them out in the rain, the tofu, and they swelled up because they absorbed water, tmein, then they will be tamei again and transmit tumah to other things. And the genium of pigul, noser, and chaylev will apply that a person will be chayav kares or chakas for eating them. So now this is the exact case we're talking about, where it shrank and became less than a kazayas, and then expanded and became more than a kazayas. And the Mishnah is clearly saying that you go according to how it is right now. That during the in-between stage, you say that it was rejected from being subject to the Isser, but now it regains that Isser, and on all the and Tumah and Kores and so forth continue to apply to it again. So Kiyuv Tzulamando Amar Yeshdish Rebbe Yisurin. So this is a clear contradiction on the opinion of Shmuel and Reb Shimon Bar Devi and Rish Lakish, who hold as Rabbah had just explained, that Yeshdish Rebbe Yisurin, that Yisurin can be rejected and then lose the status of Isser and never regain it. So the Gemara says, Tzufta, you're right, that is a clear contradiction on them, and therefore we can't accept that. So there's no such thing as Dichru by Isurim, and therefore, in other words, so even if an Isur temporarily became Mutter, but nevertheless it can go back to being awesome. So the Gemara says, Toshma. Well, let's bring another proof. We're still going to continue. So, okay, we've slogged up, in other words, that we can't explain the Machlokas the way that Rabba did, because then it would come out that there's nobody who holds that Yesh Dichu B'Yisurim and Shmuel and company wouldn't have any basis to stand on. So, therefore, let's go back to the original understanding, which is that Rabbi Yochanan, Rav and Rabbi Yechanan versus Shmuel and Rav Shimon Bar Devi and Rish Lakish are arguing whether we go according to it the way it is currently or the way it was originally. So Toshma will bring a proof about that from Dinim of Truma and Maisa. Of Bryce says Tumin Teinim Ala Groyus. You can take Truma, Rashi explains, we don't really mean Truma, we really mean Meiser, from Te'enim, from fresh figs, ala Grigris, on dried figs, Beminion, based on number. You have 90 dried figs. You're going to take 10 fresh figs and put them together, and then designate them as my solution on behalf of the other 90. Rashi points out, the point is that, first of all, the reason why Rashi has to say that it's Meisir is because that's what the Gemara is going to talk about over here, 10 out of 100, but also the point is, because Daraisa, there's no minimum amount for Truma, and therefore the volume of the Te'enim versus the Grogris wouldn't be relevant, therefore we have to be talking about, therefore at least at the beginning, the Gemara is understanding that we're talking about Meisir. The point is, Rashi says, you can't do it by weight, because then it comes out that the Grigris take up much less volume than the figs. It actually says you take a keli that holds 100 dried figs, it won't fit more than 50 fresh ones. So the fresh ones are double the volume of the other ones. So therefore you can't take my solution based on volume. You have to take it based on number in that case. Now. And if you say you go according to how they are right now, as Rav and company say Shapir, well then we see that we understand that Brisa very well. Because we have to look at the fact that those Grigris, those dried figs, originally were fresh figs, and therefore we're gonna have ten for ninety. But the question is, Eliyana to most Shehane, but if you're going to tell me you go according to the current volume, as Shmuel and company are saying, Havalei Marba the Meisters, isn't that he's adding too much Meister? Because when he does 10 fresh ones for 90 dry ones, if he were to do it by volume, he would be doing a lot less fresh figs, because as Rashi says, fresh figs have twice the volume of dried ones. So then he would have to be taking only five fresh ones on behalf of the 90, because five fresh would equal 10 dry. So if he's giving 10, then it comes out he's giving too much Meiser, and that's no good. Or Tanya, and we learn in a Brisa, Marbev Meiser, so the person gives too much Meiser, Peiros of Mesukonim, his produce is fixed up. He can now, it's not tevel, and now he can eat it. Or Masrois of Mekukolin, but the Meiser is messed up. Because what happens is that now you have, within that Meiser itself, you have tevel and Meiser mixed in. Because now so Rashi gives an example over here. Let's say, for example, that a person said that he measures out. Let's say five calves where he intends that one of them will be for Meiser and the other four will be for Chulin. So now the problem is half of that fifth one itself is supposed to be Meiser, but the other half is Tevel because he hasn't taken Meiser on behalf of it. So then you're going to have a problem what you do with it. And what you're going to end up having to do is you're going to have to end up taking Meister a second time on behalf of that little bit over there. You're going to have to take some other produce that's still Tevel and do it on behalf of behalf of that. In any case, then, so how are we saying? So if we say you have to go according to the original volume, then you have to consider these 90 grogers were originally the 90 grogers were originally much larger in size, and now but now they shrank because they're dried, and now you're going to go according to how they and you're going to go according to how they are right now as So fine. Sorry, I think I said it wrongly. So if you say Lich Moshe Hen Mishadonings, go according to the way it was originally, like Shmuel and company say, then good. Because then, in other words, these 90 were originally 90 fresh ones. Fine, 90 fresh ones need 10 out of the original 100. You need 10 of them for my submission, and the other 90 are now holding. Well, you have to say Shani Yomai. So only out of them, but we're not getting into that right now. But if you say Ela Yamat Kamos Shehain, but if you say like Rab and company say, you have to go according to the way it was originally, then it comes out. How about a Marba Meisteris? Now it's coming out that you're giving too much Meister. Or if you go according to the way it is right now, because right now the volume of those 10 that you're giving is much larger. Is much larger than the volume of 10 dried ones would be. So now it comes out that you're giving too much Meister, and then you have, as we just said, Masuris and Mekukolin, the Meister is going to be Nesta. So therefore, doesn't that show that you should go according to the way it was originally, as Shmuel and company are saying, and then you're good? So the Gemara answers back, well, then how would it be any better according to them? Elamai lach mos shehein. So you're telling me rather we should go according to how they were originally, as if they were all fresh. Aim a safer. Fine, but if you're going to understand that way, look at the next part of the Mishnah. Grogris ala ta'enim, that if he wants to separate as Meiser dried figs on behalf of fresh ones, the midah, then he has to do it based on measure. Then he has to do it based on volume. So now we can't do it based on number because again, the number, now it's going to be the volume of them is going to be much smaller than 1/10 of the total. So now you could ask the other way around. If you say that it would be good if you say that you go according to how it is right now, shatter. Then therefore we say right now most of them are dried, and therefore you need a volume, and you're taking Meister from the dried ones on behalf of the fresh ones, and therefore you need enough of the dried ones that it will make up a volume equal to 10% of the total, which would be more than 10 of the dried ones. But if you say you have to go according to how they were originally, Magra Meister, so then you have the opposite problem. If he gives more than 10 grogers, he's going to end up increasing the amount of Meister beyond the 10%. And as we said before, that creates a problem because now Tevel and Cholin are mixed together. So it comes out, and the first part of the Braisa is going to be a question on Rab and Rabbi and Rabbi Yechanan, but the second part will be a question on Shmuel and on Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Levi and then Rish Lakish. So how is either of them going to explain it? Ela hocha b'truma gdola. So rather, we have to say no. We're not talking about Meiser Rishon anymore. We're talking about truma gdola, the first truma that you have to take from the produce. The reisha b'ayin. So then the difference is truma midaraisa. You only need one chitachas b'teres sakri. You could give one grain of wheat, for example, on behalf of a whole pile. But midirabanan, you have amounts. In midirabanan, you have minimum amounts. One 40th for a generous person. 1/50th for average. 1/60th for stingy. So now, in other words, but the point is, there's no problem giving more truma than you're supposed to. The reisha b'ayin yofa. The sefer b'ayin yofa. The reisha b'ayin yofa. The safer b'ayin yofa. Each part of the Mishnah then is telling you about how to do it with an ayin yofa, how to do it in the most generous possible way. So in the Reisha, when you're taking the fresh figs as truma, then fine, you give 10 of them on behalf of the 100, and then that way you're being more generous because you're giving a larger volume. And in the safer, when you're giving the dried figs, it doesn't matter that you're giving extra. It's also buying the offer. You're also giving more generously. And therefore it's good either way. Well, the Gemara says, Ehafi, but if you're going to say the Mishnah is talking about Truma, Ema Sefer, then what about, look at the continuation of the Braisa. Omer Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. Abba, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says that my father, Rabbi Yossi, Hayanotel Eser Grogos Shebimuk Tzaya, he would take 10 dried figs from the mitzoya. The mitzoya is the container in which they would dry the figs. Altishim, on behalf of 90, altishim, shema kalkala, on behalf of 90 fresh ones that were in a basket. So in other words, he's saying that, no, when you're doing dried figs, it wouldn't be, as the Tanakhama had said, you'd have to give more than 10 because the volume of them is less. Rather, you would always give by number, and that means 10 on behalf of 100. So 10 on behalf of the remaining 90, fresh ones. Now, the Ibit Truma Gdola, now if we're talking about Truma Gdola, Esamaya Vidte, then why is he taking 10? The Shiurim for Truma are 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th, which are a little bit either side of 2%, not 10%. So the Gemara answers Elohoch Matrumas Meiser Skinim. The answer is fine. We're not talking about Meiser. We're not talking about Truma, but we're talking about Trumas Meiser. The Abba Lozaben Goimohu, namely then this Braisa, which is talking about giving a certain measure of it, or that they give an extra measure of it. Now, usually we understand Truma, there's no minimum amount, no minimum and no maximum amount Minatorah. Meiser issue has to be exactly 10%. What about Trumas Meiser? The Pasuk, the way the Pasuk tells us about it, it's supposed to be exactly 1%, 1/10 of 1/10, 1/10 of the Meiser issue. However, Abba Elazar ben Goimel says, as we're going to see, that Trumas Meiser you could also give extra, and it's not a problem. So Abba Elazar ben Goimel, who this price would be according to Abba Elazar ben Goimel, the Tanya. As we learn in a Braisa, Abba Lozman Goyma Omer, when the Pasuk says about Meiser, about Trumas Meiser, the Nechshav Lachem Trumas Sem, Hashem tells the Levim, your Truma that you're going to take Trumas Meiser and give to Kohenim is going to be like the Truma, is going to be like the Truma that the Yisraelim give. So we see, in other words, that there's a similarity between the similarity between the Truma Gdola that the Yisrael farmer gives and the Trumas Meiser that the Levi gives. Both of them go to the Kohen. But the similarity, he says, is to shame Truma Gdola, to tell us what Omed, just as Truma Gdola is taken by estimate, you don't measure it, you estimate, you look at it, and you estimate it. Okay, the Derei, so there's nothing to estimate, because you just take one grain of wheat, but in other words, what we mean is, when the Chachamim set up the rules of how much the minimum is to give, then you don't give that exact amount, you estimate it, and then do like that. So just like that's taken by estimate, over Machshava, and in fact, Tosfos goes on to point out that you should take Truma Gdola Ba'omid. You should take it by eyesight, by evaluation, by eyesight, because that way you'll be more likely to give more generously. And Tosfos goes on to discuss various other Mishnayos and Gemaras that are relevant as far as that. Anyway, so he says, so just like Truma Gdola, you tell us Ba'omid of Machshava, and it doesn't have to mean that you actually separate. It's enough with Machshava to say that you decide that you're going to set aside the Truma on a certain side, and that works, because the positive is the Nechshav Lachem. It will be thought for you, and that means that you can do it in thought, and it means that you do it by thought, by thinking, by estimating how much it is. So Abba Elazar ben Goimel says, "Kach Trumas Meiser, you tell us the Oymed of Machshava." The same way Trumas Meiser can also be done by estimate and by Machshava. You don't have to measure it exactly. You don't have to measure it at exactly 10% or 1% rather, but you can take it by estimate, and you could even you could give extra. Tosfos discusses a bit about how we're doing such a limud, because after all, isn't it truma by definition? The Daraisa doesn't have a measure. Truma's Meiser does, and so how is Abba Elazar ben Goimel learning it? But nevertheless, that's how he is, that it could. You could do it by estimate of Machshava, and only with thought. You don't have to actually, you don't actually separate it out. You could, for example, look at it and think the truma is going to be here, or the Truma's Meiser is going to be here. And that's good enough. There are Rishonim who learn that it means you actually have to verbally designate it at least. In any case, the point is that and he continues, Mat Truma Gdola Ba'ayin Yofa, and just like Truma Gdola is given generously, and you can give much more than the one grain of wheat that you would be required to midaraisa, Ach Trumas Meiser Ba'ayin Yofa, the same way Trumas Meiser can be given more generously, says Abba Elazar ben Goimel. So in other words, we see that he says that it's possible to take extra Trumas Meiser, and it's not a problem. Umina, well, then, based on that, Amar Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Yosi, Abba, how you know to Esav Grover, Shemokteya, Tushim Beshabakafala, well, then, in that case, then, we can show that, so now we can also answer our question about going according to, about how we evaluate the volume of the food. Because we just said, Abba, Rav Elazar ben Rabbi Yosi, Abba, that my father, Rabbi Yosi, how you know to Esav Grover, Shemokteya, you take 10 dried figs from the place where they were dried, Al Tishim Shemokteya, on behalf of 90 fresh ones that are in the basket. Now, if you say, go according to the original volume, Shafir, then we understand easily enough how he does that. But if you tell me that it has to be the way it is right now, then if he takes 10 grogers, which have less volume, on behalf of all of them, which include fresh figs, which have greater volume, then he's taking too little, I assume. So wouldn't that demonstrate then that you go according to the original volume? However, the Gemara says that's not really a proof. He also said of Jimmy, Omer Rav Elazar, when the Jimmy came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained in the name of Rav Elazar, shiny grogers, it's different with dried figs, because you could boil them and bring them back to their original status and bring them back to being as large and plump as they were originally. And therefore, normally we could say that we go according to the current volume, but maybe by grogers we would go according to, but by grogers we can go according to the way they were as fresh figs, because they can be restored to that point. So we're still leaving the question open about whether, when it comes to these kinds of halachas, whether we go according to the original volume or whether we go according to the current volume. So we'll continue that discussion, Be'ez Hashem, and continue this discussion about Trumas and Maaseres and Nes.